Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. 9:05 on the clock, got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by our head of news, Melissa Kay.
Good morning, good morning.
Our head of production, Seth Havag.
Good morning.
And we are here to have some fun, everybody. We're going to get into some entertainment in a little bit. We've also got this, the percentage of men that have slept with a stuffed animal before. Want to get into that one.
Awesome news.
Got a couple of entertainment, that ain't right stories and good stories of the day for you as well, all coming up. Did want to mention this story real quick, because I thought it was quite interesting. Pete Davidson recently has been in the news quite a bit since leaving Saturday Night Live, mm-hmm. usually for dating and things like that.
Gossipy stuff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's got a new show on Peacock called Bupkis that's really good. Joe Pesci, Edie Falco and him. He hangs with those guys. Like, he's a good actor. He really is.
That's some good company to hang with. Yeah.
And he's a very, very talented stand-up comedian. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I enjoy about him is this, like, if Pete Davidson's fame went away tomorrow, I don't feel like he'd care. I don't feel like it matters to him like it matters to maybe some of his fans or some people out there. He's going to, you know, as long as he could still do comedy, I think he'd be okay. I think he would be perfectly fine doing, you know, being a like a lot of comedian friends I have that have good careers, but they're not household names.
Yeah, just a traveling comedian.
Just doing what he loves.
Right.
And to further evidence that Pete Davidson really doesn't worry about PC-ism.
Okay.
And I encourage that. I admire that. Now, I that comes with a standard. That comes with the understanding that we're going to treat each other with respect. Mm-hmm. We're all going to do that. And that we can all take a joke. I think that those things are important with this. I think it's also important before we get into this article and this topic that we mentioned, you know, just for speaking for myself personally, I will fight for animals the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. I will always fight for animals. I believe in that. I think it's really ridiculous to not. We're a part of the food chain. They're a part of the food chain. It doesn't exist if it's not linked up. You know, we got to look out for each other. Plus, I don't want to be saying to my, you know, if I'm fortunate enough to have grandchildren, hey, we don't have penguins anymore because we just wanted to make so much plastic or something that or whatever. So that being said, I've come on the air many times and said this. I am not a PETA fan. I do not respect PETA. I do not respect any organization that can't just stick to what they're doing. PETA has done this campaign for a very long time of bringing up the Holocaust and the amount of lives lost during the Holocaust and comparing that to animal lives. And you can't do that. No. You don't need to bring my people in to make your point.
No.
I would say the same thing if they were talking about African Americans and the slave trade or Native Americans and the Trail of Tears or et cetera, et cetera. Like any of this stuff. You shouldn't need to do that.
No.
And to be fair about this, too, I don't like when anybody does this about anything.
Mm-hmm.
The comparison arguments or whataboutism is lame, boring, and cowardly conversation to me. Just speaking for myself. So Pete Davidson was criticized by PETA for buying a dog from a pet store instead of adopting. Well, Pete's not having it. Now, he explained that he is severely allergic to dogs, so he had to buy a specific breed.
Right.
My best friend, Chris, I mentioned this earlier, their children are allergic to dogs. They wanted a dog more than anything in the world, so they did a very similar thing. This is not a bad thing. In this case, Cavapoo, which is nearly hypogenic because it doesn't shed.
Oh, wow.
He also said he was buying the dog for his mother because hers had just passed away 2 years ago. So then he told PETA, a bunch of stuff that we can't say on the air. And way to go, Pete. Way to go. Like, PETA does this all the time where they look for an opportunity. Ooh, here's a chance to get PETA's name out there.
Yep.
PETA, PETA, PETA. What is that? It just sounds like it's about PETA. It's not about the animals. Like, it's about our organization. Like, love our organization. Give money to our organization. What about the animals? What about... No. Us. Give it to us and we'll get it to the animals. Does anybody trust that? Does anybody feel good about that? Like, it's an organization that had good intentions, that does do good work from time to time.
Look at the name, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Hey, I think we can all get behind that, but that's not really what they're doing.
Oh.
Well, no, and they exploited him and his situation in his name just to try to promote themselves.
Exactly.
And they didn't do their homework. Like, had they done their homework, I would think that they wouldn't, they could have, if they wanted to do this, they could have been like, look what celebrity Pete Davidson did recently. Like, he wanted the dog for his mother so bad that he spent this and did all the homework. Because you can't just go look and go to anywhere and buy this dog. You have to do the homework. Mm-hmm. And, okay, what dogs are, you know, safe for our for me and all this and everything. Like, and he's severely allergic to dogs. If anything, it shows how much he loves animals that he did this.
Yes.
Like, what the what? What are we doing? Like, you know, it only hurts. Like, for those of us that are fighting for animals, that are fighting for people to care, give a darn about this, they hurt the argument. They hurt, PETA hurts this fight more than helps it in these situations. Not all overall, I wouldn't say, but in these situations, they sure darn do.
You think they'd be happy?
They sure darn do.
Sure darn do.
Well, they sure darn do, let me tell you.
We're not in West Country anymore, James.
No,
and he doesn't even have the country hat on.
Yeah, he did not. Where's that cowboy hat?
I don't know where that was.
Also, they should be happy there's one less pet in a pet store.
Yeah.
You'd think. Okay, he saved the pet. There you go.
I don't know. Did you have something, Melissa?
Well, I'm just trying to read the article here, and it seems like their attempt was to, you know, speak out against puppy mills and things like that. And then went after him, and then they ended their statement by acknowledging that Davidson purchased the puppy with no ill intent.
So they completely backtracked everything they just said and did. Like, wonderful, wonderful reporting. Mm-hmm. Nicely done, PETA. Like, you just...
Like, I can say one thing and then just, you know, backtrack it with the last thing I say. What are they, a politician?
Yeah, exactly. And how much do we trust them? Like, how are you supposed to trust organizations that talk out of both sides of their mouth, or companies, right? Or corporate... Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to stop right there. Moving on. Before I lose my job. Martin Scorsese, Quentin Tarantino, a handful of people have come out and talked about how they are not fans of superhero movies and all this, and they have shredded them and bombed them. I really admire what Thor did. Chris Hemsworth, of course, who plays Thor famously, said, quote, "It's super depressing when I hear that. There goes two of my heroes I won't work with. I guess they're not a fan of me." He added, quote, "I don't love when we start scrutinizing each other when there's so much fragility in the business and in the space of the arts as it is." But he clarified that those guys are, quote, "still my heroes, and in a heartbeat, I would leap to work with them."
Gee.
Again, just talking out of both sides of his mouth, but we're talking about human emotions here, not an opinion, not a feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or a designed thing, right, yeah.
Interesting that Anthony Hopkins, who played Hemsworth's dad in the Thor movies, they didn't take shots at him. Would they still work with Anthony Hopkins, with these directors, guys and stuff?
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Like, I think this all the time with people in my life. Like, I can't, especially with celebrities. Who asked you? Who asked? Like, keep it to yourself, man. Like, I think Martin Scorsese is easily top five greatest directors I've ever seen, and I think most people can't argue that. Mm-hmm. Everybody pretty much has at least one Martin Scorsese movie that you love or you look at, and, oh, my God, that's art right there. Not everything has got to be art, bro. Not everything. Just call Martin Scorsese bro.
Bro, that's good.
Not everything has to be that way, Marty. It doesn't all... Not everything he's done is art.
No.
Not everything he's done is great and all that and everything. I mean, you know, and Quentin Tarantino, I don't even get into anymore. Like, there are a few people who have were so high on the list for me that are so low now. I would jump to work with Martin Scorsese. I don't know how eager I'd be to work with Quentin Tarantino.
Wow.
I never thought I would say that in my life.
Wow.
But with his wannabe machismo and the way that he treats women in his films and different things, like,
a little cringy.
The way he is with feet alone in movies. Like, it's weird. You go back and watch his movies and you dissect movies the way I do. Like, there are multiple scenes in almost every movie of his where a woman is showing her feet for no darn reason. For no darn reason. Like, you know? it's just these weird things that he's done. And there's certain things that he's done that are art and beautiful and really incredible and impressive. And then there's other things like, it's okay. Well, you're a chauvinistic pig. Yeah.
The foot fetish, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
No kink shaming. No kink shaming here. No.
I wanted to get into one other one here, and this isn't necessarily about anything in particular. It's just about something kind of weird, a weird story of the day here on Entertainment Stories. In a TikTok, so I want to get into this because it starts with this, this Nicole Androlia. 80s parents, heavy metal is actually good for you.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, that's according to a clinical psychologist named Nicola Andreoli. In a TikTok, she explained that listening to any kind of music can be, quote, therapeutic and can allow for an emotional release. She adds that metal lessens negative emotions by reducing cholesterol levels, which helps lessen stress.
Wow. How about that?
Also, people who listen to metal tend to think more logically and is more complex terms than those who don't. It's also been known to, quote, help them the most with focus. And while metal lyrics tend to focus on rage, metal has been found to, quote, a positive way to process anger safely.
How about that?
Yep.
Catharsis going on there.
The focus part I'm not sure on. For me, I find instrumental music, jazz, you know, classical stuff or you know, instrumental folk music I really like. That stuff to be great focus music for me because lyrics distract me. But I could see where this is. I will say I played a lot of sports in my life, and I played a lot of high school sports. And before every sporting event, I was listening to something heavy or some heavy techno or something like that, and I was locked in and ready to go. The athlete my father always wanted me to be was there. Was right there.
There you go.
Was my body there? No. But my mind was. My mind was.
I find it depends on where my mind is. For focus. Sometimes it's instrumental, sometimes it's something heavier, sometimes it's just something really random, or noise. You know, like the Tahitian singing bowls.
Ooh,
that's
yes.
one I like for focus. But when I'm angry, heavy metal every time.
Yeah,
I was going to say, Melissa, I wouldn't call you a metalhead, but you are a aficionado, if I remember correctly.
Yes, I do like heavy metal now and then.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
I don't get angry very often, but when I do, five finger death punch.
Right on. Yes. A Pantera for me. It's one of those things where I'm so with you on this last part of this, where a positive way to process anger safely.
Yeah.
Everybody gets angry, and anger can mess with your focus and those things, and so that's why I disagree with a little bit of that part of it. But anger can get things done. You know, it's the dirty secret about anger, but sometimes it gets stuff done, and sometimes you need a little bit of that to get you motivated or get your butt out of the couch or something like that.
Yeah, I think we're talking about the kind of anger that what you're talking is a self-motivating factor, not the one that hurts other people. That's not what we're talking about. That's different.
Yes. And there's never an okay scenario outside of defending yourself, I would say, for, you know, hurting somebody or anything
especially
like
in
that.
Anger, yeah.
And so what is a safe way to get rid of that anger? You know, listening to some heavy music.
There you go. Here's some screaming music.
Pretty easy way to process
Put on
that.
Your ghost and you're good to go.
I would, nice other reference. Nicely done, yeah. Rammstein's another one for me.
Rammstein's a good one. Animals as Leaders is another one I like.
Yeah.
What, no Motorhead? No Lemmy?
No.
Come on, man.
I'm not there yet.
Every song they ever made was the same.
Everyone.
Lemmy singing like he's got glass in his throat. Yeah.
Yes. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show. WFHR, locally grown radio. The heat is on. It's a warm one today. Boy, it's going to be a warm one.
I just coming off the discussion of heavy metal, and we come back to this. Just kinda, there's some weird forces going on in the universe right now, man.
Definitely. Melissa said that James here with you, leading you into Melissa's news in just a few here. I thought this would be not newsworthy at all, but it's interesting. So there's some. There's nothing worse than being on day 10 of a new job and thinking, this is a bad situation.
This is not
going the way we wanted it to.
Right.
Fortunately, some issues can be spotted before you accept the gig. People on social media are talking about the red flags they've noticed while looking for a job.
This is good. I like this. Yeah.
I want to go at number 10 or number 1? Where do you want to start here?
Let's go number 1 this time.
Yeah, yeah. I like that too because it really plays into our last conversation. Quote, any use of the term rock star. Yeah, yeah.
You're not a rock star.
I will, to moms and to actual rock stars. These are the only people that I use that term with anymore. I used to love to use the term. I thought it was a fun term and it made people feel good. You know, hey, you are a real rock star today. But it's just gotten so overused now.
It got overused and appropriated from actual rock stars.
Yeah, it did. It really did. They ruined it. But that's definitely, especially in a job description. Like, no.
Yeah, we're looking for rock stars.
Yeah.
Should I bring my guitar to the interview?
No, but like, leather pants would be good.
This is going to be the. I wear chaps to every interview. Finally, they will come into play. Finally, it'll work out.
It's chaps, James. Chaps. I learned that from an actual cowboy in Nevada.
Nice.
Really?
Nice.
Yes.
Oh. Chaps.
Well, doing our new morning show on WIRI, I want to get that terminology right.
That's right. Get your chaps and get your hat. Yeah, no, yeah. You're almost there.
Be sure to join us every morning, 7 to 8, over on 105.5. Fast-paced environment. Yeah, yeah. The person explained that usually means absolute chaos with no one in charge.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And trust us, you don't want to work for anybody a place where there is not clear leadership.
Yes.
Salary to be discussed.
Oh, no.
Nope.
Minimum wage.
Nope.
Yeah.
Every single job, every single job I've gone for where the salary wasn't disclosed up front in the interview was severely underpaid.
Yep.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
If they're not willing to post what they're going to pay for the job, then don't bother.
Yeah.
Already three into this list. I actually think that this list certainly can help a lot of people looking for work. Mm-hmm. I think this could really help employers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've done so much homework on this subject when it comes to the unemployment and jobs and all these different things. And there are a couple of key factors that we've talked about, and I think you out there understand already too. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that doesn't seem to get talked about is how businesses are selling themselves to employees.
Mm-hmm.
This is new for the business industry, for business in general. No matter if you're a mom and pop business or you're Nike. It's always been you come to me for work. That's how this works. You come to me for a job. Now they got to go to you.
They're competing for talent.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing. This is a good thing. This is why not.
It is, and I would say that the number two that you listed is a definite thing for businesses to pay attention to because that's an accurate description for a lot of workplaces, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think about fast food. Think about a high school office. Think about an emergency room. You know, those are fast-paced environments.
I think it'd be harder to come up with jobs that aren't fast-paced.
Mm-hmm.
You're a clerk at a gas station. You're a janitor. Mechanic. Like, what job doesn't have fast-paced moments?
Yeah, exactly. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Number four on here, urgently hiring multiple candidates.
Multiple candidates. Yeah, that's some verbiage there.
Yeah. Unique challenges.
Oh.
Usually means constant train wreck.
Yeah, basically.
We have difficult staff members to work with.
Yeah. Oh, this is a good one. I've run into this one. Quote, must have a bubbly personality.
Oh, no. Stop that.
Like, I read that and it puts me in a bad mood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just makes me grumpy just
give you your
reading.
Bubbly.
My boyfriend actually said to me last night, I told him something someone else asked me, and he goes, what, do they think I'm bubbly like you?
He's good. He's good. Oh, that's good. Entry-level position. That usually requiring 3 to 5 years of experience.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Being told during an interview that they're not looking for people who, quote, only come to work for a paycheck because we're a team.
No.
That means our environment is toxic.
Yes.
You hear me talk about our team here at WFHR WIRI as a family. I don't say that as a just a nice term or trying to sell it to you out there or anything. Mm-hmm. I genuinely think of everybody in this building as family members. Mm-hmm. I care about everybody in this building. I don't like the overusage of rock star any more than I do of team or family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel very similar to this than I do with the, we're going to war. Like, are you technically, are you literally going to war? Otherwise, don't
are
use
we
that
putting
term.
On our armor?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, right.
Otherwise, if it's a football game, it's not war. It's a game. It's a game. You know, I think that we need to get back to some of this. I talk in metaphors every day.
Right.
There ain't many people like, you need a book of metaphors to be able to understand half of what I'm saying. So I'm not at all saying that I don't need to be better about this too, but we need to get back to words meaning what they mean. Like you wonder why people can wiggle out of stuff so easy, or people just double down nowadays. Mm-hmm. You know, the Santos guy who's still in office after lying about everything, and the guy's still in position of power and all that.
Bailed out of jail.
I mean, yeah. Part of that is because words don't mean what they used to. We got to get back to that.
Well, and specifically in the job, you know, searching thing, it's become a dance between the people hiring and the person. So now you have to have, you know, you have to say the right things if you're the interviewee, and then you have to post it if you're the company. You have to post ridiculous stuff like this. You have to do, you can't just be honest about it. No. You got to dress it up in this flowery language.
That, make it sound good.
Yeah, even though it's, you know, instead of just telling people, okay, this is what this job is all about. Are you interested? You know?
Right. And straightforward.
Yeah. I think people appreciate the honesty.
Yeah.
May it make it a little bit harder to hire people? Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. But maybe then you'll get the right people too, you know?
Yeah. In 2023, if you're not doing real, they're not listening. They don't care. No, nobody's looking for fake anymore. Mm-hmm. Nobody's looking to be lied to or kid gloves or any of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And look at this process. And this process has been around longer than you and all the three of us have been alive.
Mm-hmm.
The head game involved with the employee and the employer, and the lying that both parties are doing to get to a place where you're going to be. Look at how this relationship starts. I lie on my resume. I embellish here and there, which everybody in the world tells you. And I've had actual people paid for a living on resumes say, oh, yeah, you can add this or this. I'm like, wait a minute, what are we doing here? Like,
yeah, right.
I didn't do that.
Same thing on the employer side with some of this terminology that they use and everything like that. Look at how this you wouldn't start a friendship that way. You wouldn't start a romantic relationship that way. I mean, you know, do we put on a little bit of airs when we're meeting somebody? Sure, a little bit, but you got to be yourself.
You put your best foot forward, but you should still be you.
Yeah, right.
We wonder why this relationship has been so damaged for so long between employee and employer. It's always started on lies. Like, of course it's going to be. Like, you can't. Yeah. Nothing in human history is going to last started on a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we got to get better about this. Extremely short or empty job descriptions like, you'll wear lots of hats.
Well,
yeah.
As much as I'd like to increase my chapeau collection, you know.
Nice, nicely done. But nice terminology.
I just want to wear a bonnet.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I bet you could pull off a bonnet great.
Yeah.
You know, I used to have one. When I was a kid, we went to and stopped at the Laurels Ingalls Wilder Museum, and I got a bonnet and an apron. I don't know what happened to them, though.
She's very sad about that.
Yeah, I felt that in you. I, even from Abbotsford, I felt that.
They were my prized possessions for a while.
Aww.
You know this one too, Melissa. Your old roommate Laura and everything. She's got a tendency. She can't. There's no hat she can't wear.
This is true.
Every hat looks good on her, and I have this goal now of like testing this. Just to see if it's true or not. I'd like to see if the bonnet worked. I hadn't thought of that one.
I can tell you from personal experience it does.
See, the streak continues.
Any kind of hat, headwear, she's good.
Yeah.
And finally on this list, and being hired on the spot may seem exciting, but it can be a red flag.
If you're
essentially hired in the first few minutes they speak to you, that could be a sign of high turnover or worse.
They're desperate. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't give an answer right away. And that's a good rule, like, across the board.
Yes.
I will get back to you.
You're never going to be, it's never, any employer that says, okay, I need to know within this amount of time or something like that, that's usually not the greatest of signs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes that's necessary. In some jobs that I've applied for having to do with like the state or, you know, things like that, they do have timelines that they have to follow, but it should be a reasonable amount of time.
Right, exactly.
That's what I'm thinking of here is you know,
like if I need to know by 2 o'clock today.
That's, yes. Because I've had jobs like this. I had a job literally where, I'm not going to say the business, but I went there and I was really desperate for work. And they tell me, hey, we need somebody on the fryer this afternoon. And I'm like, oh, okay. They meant in the next 20 minutes.
Whoa.
And spoiler alert, everybody, I've never, at that point in my life, I had never worked a fryer. So I did not feel good. I told
them scary.
So.
Training, zero. But there you go.
Yeah.
It was hot oil, what could go wrong?
Right. Yeah. It's a little weird.
Yeah.
We will take a brick break. We're going to take
a brick break.
Seth and I are going to play with bricks during the break while Melissa does her news.
I'm going to go build a wall.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to try to tell my tongue to talk.
Get a knot in here.
Try to get that down there a little bit. Then we'll come back and have some more fun and make fun of me. here on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Still holds up. Still holds
up.
It's one of those songs where if it came out today, I think it'd be a hit.
It'd still be a hit.
I think it'd still be a hit. Let's have some fun with this one here. We are actually going to do this the other day and ran out of time. And I think this is quite an interesting list. Forbes list of America's richest self-made women.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
real quick note here. Could they have done this list 20 years ago?
No.
I think that's important to keep in mind as we try to balance things between the sexes and pay and opportunities and these things. It's important to note the trailblazers and the groundbreaking work that has been done, and that there is a lot more building and a lot more work to be done. But just putting that out there right out the gate. So looking at this, Forbes released this annual list of America's richest self-made women. It's led by Diana Hendricks for the sixth year in a row. She's the co-founder of a company that distributes building supplies, and she is worth $15
billion. Wow.
And I also think that the key part of this, certainly the women part of this, but the self-made part. I find that to be one of the cooler parts of this. And, of course, I think a lot of people would have thought of this name right away at number 13, Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah.
$2.5 billion.
I know. She's been doing it for so long, too.
Billion.
Yeah.
Wow. Rihanna, $1.4 billion.
Wow.
Yep.
Ooh.
Not surprised. Not surprised.
That's very good.
Kim Kardashian at number 21 with $1.2 billion. Now, that's a little bit more interesting when it gets to the Kardashians. I see Kylie Jenner is on here also as well, because all of this starts with a sex tape. Let's be honest.
It all starts
with a sex tape.
It's true.
But that being said, giving credit where it is due, and I am not a fan of the Kardashians. I've never watched a second of any of that or anything like that. But you look at what she has done with her celebrityism, mm-hmm. and helping a lot of women, helping a lot of people that don't have anybody caring about them in jail, in that getting people out of jail or getting people a fair trial. I genuinely am impressed by a lot of the things she has done, that she does not have to do these things.
Right.
Her star, her fame doesn't come from that world.
No,
she's
not at
doing
all.
Those things for PR. Mm-hmm. If mm-hmm. anything, you can make the argument it has hurt her PR. It has hurt her career doing those things, because a lot of her audience doesn't give a darn about that stuff.
Not really.
Right. So I just giving credit where it's due.
Yep,
I think that's
exactly.
Impressive. Number 34, Taylor Swift, $740 million. Not surprising.
That's going to go up. I think
exactly
as soon as she figures out, you know, all these rights things with her music and everything, yes, she's going to she'll get over $1 billion.
Right where my mind went. Right where my brain went. Yeah. Kylie Jenner at number 38 was $680 million.
Mm-hmm.
There are controversies surrounding her when she became the world's youngest self-made billionaire, because she really is she really self-made? Forbes thinks so.
Okay, that's interesting.
I think it gets a little bit more dicey with those, but
I guess it's back to semantics, maybe.
Yes,
I'm not a big fan of the whole, you know, self-made person. Yeah. In general,
yeah.
Just because I think that's not really a thing, you know.
Yeah.
You can't do it yourself.
You can't do it by yourself.
Yeah. You need
nobody.
Help. Yeah,
nobody,
no one ever
in human
did.
History has ever done anything all on themselves.
No, yes. They did not.
Madonna at number 45 with $580 million.
Nice.
Mm.
Yeah, not a surprise.
Not. I agree. Not a surprise. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, when it's not as though she's had hits, you know, recently.
Recently, yeah, anything. You're right.
So mm-hmm. I do think it's a little interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Beyonce at number 48 with $540 million. That's surprising to me.
I thought she'd be higher than Rihanna.
Exactly. I thought she would be much higher on that list.
Yeah.
Now, Rihanna is a little higher because of the cosmetic thing and a lot of that.
That's
stuff
true.
That
that's
she
true.
Does.
The extra thing. Yeah, right.
There is a tie with the next two with 56, Celine Dion and Judge Judy at $480 million.
Oh, nice.
I remember.
I like that they're tied.
Yeah.
Judge Judy, savviest business person. The way she handled her show, of how she kept the rights and all that stuff. She's brilliant. Super smart.
Yeah.
That was one of the best business deals ever, the way she worked that show.
She used her age and retirement to her advantage.
Yeah.
She was her contract ran up, and she was just going to be done. She's like, I've had my fun. I'm good. And they're like, no, your ratings are the best in daytime TV. We need you. Here, take all of our money.
Yeah, take it.
And okay, I guess I'll go throw the robe on for a little longer,
I guess.
Yeah, right. Like, I don't know. I don't know how much that was. She seems like a pretty genuine human being. I believe that she really did want to retire, but it worked out.
It worked out nice for her. Yeah.
Number 59, another tie, and I love these names being together. Dolly Parton and Reese Witherspoon at $440 million.
Ooh, nice.
Tell me you would not watch a movie right now starring those two.
Absolutely.
Sure.
I don't even need to know the plot. I don't even care.
I'd even go to the theater for that one.
Yeah, like I'd watch that in a heartbeat. Especially Dolly playing Reese's mom.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love the idea of this. I love
that's great.
Or their sisters. Like, she's the big, Dolly's the big sister, Reese the youngest. Oh, yeah. It does. I don't even care. Don't even need a script. Just go ahead and do it. Just do it, Hollywood.
Oh, man.
Number 61 in this list, a little similar to me as Barbara Streisand at $430 million.
Mm. Ooh, yeah, okay.
Another one who hasn't necessarily, you know, had a popular hit in recent years.
In recent years, right, yeah.
Or even a hit movie or anything.
Yeah, she hasn't done much acting either, so.
Hasn't done a whole lot of touring or anything like that, but.
I'm guessing she's basically in retirement these days,
At 89, tennis star Serena Williams with $290 million.
Wow.
Wow.
That's impressive. And I personally, I think she may be the greatest tennis player I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty cool to see. And at number 90.
Go ahead. Finish up the list.
Number 96, Shonda Rhimes, $250 million. Creator, producer of Grey's Anatomy, Bridgerton, Private Practice, Scandal.
So. Mm. Oh, that's the syndication money's coming in.
Yeah. She's a hit machine.
Yeah, no
kidding. She really is. And not everything she's done has, of course, been successful, but the majority of it has been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I find it fascinating that only, you know, only one of the people, that's the number one, the top one, is actually in like an industry. The other ones are all in entertainment. in some way, shape, or form. And I guess that kind of it gives you an indication of where we're at right now. This is kind of where women make their if the women that have the most influence and the most money, this is where they're making it right now. Not necessarily in the traditional ways of, you know, getting a business, you know, making a business from
building
from
a business.
Exactly.
Being the CEO of a company.
Right. So, it's a good indication of where we're at right now in terms of that.
It was the first thing I noticed with this. Mm-hmm. The you don't have a lot of this in the business coming out of the business world.
Business community, right. Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, shows the lack of that and that we need that and need to correct that.
But as you guys pointed out, some of these women are in that bracket because of these side businesses that they've started in addition to their, like, you know, music careers.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Like Rihanna's a great example of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, that she has been able to do that as well.
It's another thing that stands out to me right away with this list and looking at all these amazing individuals here, too. One of the most interesting things to me is nature and how nature always finds a way. We've all seen like some old train tracks that haven't been used in decades and nature has grown around them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The way that you will see in the city birds and these things. Like I love that nature just finds a way.
Mm-hmm.
I see keeps that
keeps evolving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I see that with women. I see that. I see that. Like, okay, you tell us no. You tell us, oh, we can't do this. Or, oh, no. I didn't hear. I've never heard the word. I'm not going to listen to no. I'm not going to. That's not. That doesn't end the conversation for me. It may end it for you, but not for me. I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep doing this. We got to correct these things. But don't get this twisted, everybody. If we don't, women are going to just keep doing it. It just would be a lot better for society and for our kids and in the future and everything if we all...
And for everybody's mental health.
Yeah, but I don't want to make this come across like women need us to do this. Women are going to get it done one way or another. But it would be a lot better. It would be certainly a lot cooler if the rest of us men got along with this and worked out on this and were an ally when it comes to this.
Hey, I just want to point out that we've gotten to a better place now when we've got what's her face, Elizabeth, whatever, sent to prison.
Yes,
that we had
Holmes.
A huge, that we had a scam artist, you know.
Yes,
that,
yes.
Hey, you're moving up in the world. Your criminals are better, you know.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate, James, that you've pointed that out, because women have supported men in their endeavors for, you know, as long as there have been women and men.
Yeah,
and
right.
The reason that men have been as successful as they are couldn't have happened without the women supporting them.
100%.
So it's time to return the favor, dudes.
Right on.
Well said. I'll never forget my dad was watching an interview with, some big name actor or something like that. And the guy was talking about his wife. And he said how, growing up, I always believed that behind every great man is a great woman. And my dad right away looks at me and he's like, Jimmy, you messed that up. It's beside every great man is a great woman.
Yes.
That every great man in human history, more than likely 99% of them had a woman right beside them, if not, you know, encouraging them or helping them or a mother or a sister or somebody like that.
Right.
Like, Melissa's point is solid and probably didn't need a man to emphasize it.
That's okay. I appreciate the support, James.
There you go.
I really did like that story. I just really wanted to get that story in there.
No, it's a good story.
But now
it's
I feel like I'm mad at this one. I'm going to shy away from the microphone and go to commercial.
Okay, good idea.
We'll come back and have some.
We'll let you.
Got some That Ain't Right stuff. Good stories of the day coming up for you on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show, WFHR. Got a couple boys this summer and a girl this summer here. Seth, Melissa, James here with you to take it to the top of the hour, wrap up the show. Thank you so much for joining us, especially to our crossover listeners,
that
start with us on our sister station, WIRI, and continue with us here at WFHR.
The crossover group, that's what
we're called. We appreciate you. And you guys know how we do. We wrap up with a That Ain't Right story that need a palate cleanser and do some local good stories of the day.
Yep.
So we go to Japan for our That Ain't Right story.
Okay.
Ooh.
Is it a
game show? Talk about blowfish?
Game show? Nice. Japanese game shows? Yeah.
Pizza Hut in Japan has a new limited time menu item, Wiener Coffee Pizza.
Whoa.
I did check, and I can say that on the air.
Can you? Are you allowed? Okay. All right.
Okay.
It comes with topped. It comes topped with coffee sauce and cream cheese, and features a crust lined with wiener sausages. It also comes with a can of whipped cream to add on top of the pizza as you like.
Whoa!
Okay, that's the that ain't right part, because once you said the cream cheese, I can see the combination, but whipped cream?
We had the same thought, Melissa. Yes, yes, we had the same thought.
What?
I am intrigued now. I am intrigued.
It's tongue-in-cheek based on a social media joke. Wiener coffee is how some Germans refer to Vienna and coffee.
Oh.
Wiener coffee.
Wiener coffee.
Yeah. A sweet coffee with chocolate and whipped cream.
Gotcha.
Which sounds delicious. That sounds really good, actually. I want some Vienna coffee. Viennese coffee.
That's
some,
right.
That sounds really good. So, well done playing off of that. You know, this is obviously going to be a lot more popular in Europe and over in Japan and that.
Yeah, right.
But I'm with Melissa. They had me up until the... I'm not saying I would have tried this, but I didn't have anything against it until the whipped cream.
Yeah.
The whipped cream part through.
Wow. Yeah. I'm just thinking of that combination of flavors. Wow. You got the coffee and then the wieners.
Chocolate and
cream
meat,
cheese.
Chocolate and meat do not belong in the same world.
Really?
Unless it's bacon.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That back, James. Roll it back.
Not for me, though, Melissa.
No, he can't handle it.
I like my bacon alone. I like my.
Okay.
I
don't, how about maple? Like
the world.
How about maple
I just
bacon?
Don't like them combined.
You can't even do that.
I don't like it. No,
really.
No.
Wow.
I'm really bad about combining foods. So okay. I'm an outlier.
Man.
Don't listen to me. I'm an outlier. Melissa's much more correct about this. Yeah.
I had to look up to see if maybe whipped cream tastes different in Japan. So I Googled, what does whipped cream taste like in Japan? The first story that popped up was drinkable whipped cream coming to Japanese vending machines, the subtle bitterness and rich taste of coffee blended with whipped cream. As for the
no.
It doesn't.
No.
It tastes the same.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's the same. Anytime they say you can now get at a Japanese, you can get anything at a vending machine in Japan. You can get underwear vending machines in Japan, which is just awesome. I just love the idea.
Didn't I just see an article or a headline that says during an earthquake, vending machines will automatically dispense food there?
Yep.
That is so cool.
Yeah, I've read that same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Of all the things, because I learned about this as a kid. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of Japanese families and stuff in South Side and everything. I will say I have not understood to this day why we have not incorporated that here. The vending machines everywhere, the vending, not just snacks, but T-shirts.
Yeah,
these
anything,
things,
right?
Like,
yeah.
Just basic stuff. Yeah. I genuinely think that that's a moneymaker right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how good. I think it would take some time for people to get used to it. But, if I'm a vending machine company, my numbers are probably down. Like, just looking at the articles that I've read and everything.
Right, exactly.
It seems like it'd be a good way to kind of, like, put a punch junk into the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it would work in highly populated areas.
Yeah.
And that's what
a
lot of Japan is.
Yes.
I think that's probably why it hasn't taken off here as well. But
The closest thing I've seen was at a hotel at like a Hampton or something like that they had a vending machine of all kinds of stuff like detergent, soap, anything like you might forget. That makes sense too. It's like,
toothpaste.
I need that. And exactly.
We need that palate cleanser. Let's get to some local good stories of the day. We kick off with, it's Wednesday. We're talking about the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, and that means one thing.
Bingo!
Bingo! Bingo at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge every Wednesday at 6:30. Join our friends over there. They open their doors at 5, bingo at 6:30. The Elks Lodge continues to put back into this community. Mm-hmm. When you do things with the Elks Lodge, you are helping them do that.
Yep.
Scholarship offers and different things.
Stuff for veterans.
So much that our friends at the Elks Lodge do. You get to go have fun, maybe see some people you haven't seen in a while, enjoy some bingo. That place is always hopping every Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Get there early because it's hard to find a place to park. I'm not exaggerating here for like just to sell this or anything. I drive past it every Wednesday, and every Wednesday night that place is packed.
It's hopping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have fun.
Well, and they have delicious food with Two Hearts Catering too.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
Open on Wednesdays. Yeah.
Tomorrow, our friends over at Helen's Zoo House at the Wisconsin Rapids Rapids Municipal Zoo at 1911 Gaynor Avenue has Zoozort. Zoozort's going to be there tomorrow. That's a great way to see what you should say.
Zoozort, yes. 11-1, Zoozort.
Noella Tarrant has been a licensed animal educator for over 20 years. She'll capture kids' attention with interactive questions, demonstrations, and animals. Join them at Helen's Zoo House tomorrow at 11 and at 1. Got two different times to check out Zoozort.
Nice.
Awesome.
That's going to be cool. Mm-hmm. And one more thing I wanted to wrap up on here, Seth. You got it over there.
Yes, indeed.
Our good friends over at Bluegrass at the Lake.
Yes, that's coming up this very weekend. Starts tomorrow, everyone, on the 8th, on Thursday. This is the Brittany Saylor Memorial Music Festival, Bluegrass at the Lake, from the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th coming up here, taking place at Red Sand Beach at Lake Wazicha. Thursday, they've got the kickoff event. It's only $5. It goes from 7 to 11. Southbound. Local great Southbound will be playing around here.
Yeah, nice.
On Friday, $28 at the gate. Music from 4 to midnight. Here's the lineup for this one. Art Stevenson and Highwater. J.B. Shee. That's an interesting name. J.B. Shee. I like that. I might have to take my glasses off here. The Millbillies.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Millbillies. And River Valley Rangers. That's all on Friday coming up. And then on Saturday, the lineup is Biscuit Creek, Handpicked Bluegrass, Red Ben and the Missing Miles. That is an awesome name.
Those are all great names.
Ryan Thompson and Townline and Dig Deep. We'll all be headlining on Saturdays. It's a three-day event, everyone. Other lots of great things going on. Touch a Truck event. Also, First Responders Meet and Greet Festival Fair and Flipping Your Griddle.
Yeah.
It's a cook-off. That's just a great name for a cook-off, man. Wow.
Yeah.
It's a great name. It's a great event for a great reason. Yep. A big thank you to everybody that helps put this on. And they join us every year on Morning Magazine. And we love talking with our friends at Bluegrass at the Lake.
Yeah.
Take in that event, everybody. It's going to be fun. Stick around because we got great stuff on the radio dial. And again, want to remind everybody, Midday Magazine, 3 to 4, 3 to 4. We've already heard some good feedback from the audience about being in the afternoons.
Yeah.
We're hitting a whole new audience. We're hitting a lot new people there. Mm-hmm. And we're really, really appreciate you out there joining us and following along with some of these schedule things that have gone on. Thank you so much to all of you out there. And, of course, Rafter Baseball on the radio dial tonight. Roll Rats. 5:50, our pregame kicks off as we take on Wausau. We wrap up our four-game homestand here. 1-2 in a row. Let's make it three, baby.
Let's make it three.
Oh, yeah.
Great show, you two. Have a great morning.
You too.
You too.
We'll be back tomorrow with more right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.